Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is once more and again that God has saw fit to allow us to come together one more time to celebrate and study the Word of God together. You know, it's a privilege to be able to come every Wednesday night and people calling in. And I'm so careful and honored to do this, but I really thank God for allowing it to happen. I thank each and every one of you that call back week after week, and I pray that the lessons that you receive, that you just don't hear them, but become a doer. You know, we live in a world and time seems like it's running out. But we have to just keep holding on to the confession of our faith, long as God allow us to be in the land and a living, and realizing that we have help through Christ Jesus. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of John. John, the third chapter, the first through the 16th verse, and our topic for the night is understanding God's love toward us. You know, God loves us so much that is really, I think it's impossible to comprehend all of it, but we have to hold on to what we do realize and understand his love toward us, because that's going to be the factor that's going to help us to want to do better. You know, when somebody loves you, you want to love them back. So our lesson topic tonight is understanding God's love towards us. We're coming from John, the third chapter, the first through the 16th verse. And as always, you know, we have to go to the throne of grace, because no matter what we do or what we're going to do, we should never leave God out. So before we go into the lesson and we'll play a song, I want to know if anybody would like to bring us to the throne of grace in prayer. You could press the one button on your telephone, and I'll bring you into the studio. If anyone would like to pray, or if anyone have a prayer request, or anybody want to give a praise report, you could press the one button. Because y'all have to remember, like I say all the time, this is not my Bible study. This is our Bible study. And God saw fit to arrange it, and each of you call in, so you are part of it. But if anyone doesn't want to pray or have a prayer request or whatever, we're going to go ahead into prayer. After that, I'll go ahead and play a song, and then we'll get into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, it is once more and again. Heavenly Father, I enter your gates with praise. I enter your gates with thanksgiving. Lord, we can't make it without you, and because of you, all things are. Lord, teach us and guide us in the way that you would want for us to go, so that we can give you glory, honor, and praise. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down on the people in South Carolina as they're dealing with the struggle of the flooding, dear God. Some people have lost family members, and I pray that you let them know that you or that they know that you are father to the fatherless and a mother to the motherless. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that they hold on to the confession of their faith and go through this storm. Lord, you never told us that we won't go through things, but it's not what we go through, but who we go through it with. I'm asking that you bless them, dear God, and the blessings they need. I ask that you touch other people's heart to give themselves their time, their money, or their service to them, that their way could be made easier. Lord, we live in trying times, and all of us have our time. But, Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon them right now, dear God, and bless them in a mighty way. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon every family represented in this Bible study, dear God. I'm asking that you bless them, bless their home, bless their health, bless their coming in and they going out, dear God. Let them use the word that you give to me to give to them to be their strength in the time of trouble. Lord, we need you. We can't make it without you. Lord, this world have evil on every side. Lord, you have to order our footsteps until so we won't fall into a trap. Regulate our mind, dear God, so we could keep it stayed on you. Help us, dear God, to be the best that we can be. Teach us how to love one another, dear God. Teach us how to forgive. And teach us how to share the word of God that we receive. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others I ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sake. Amen, and thank God. Well, we're going to go ahead and play a song. And after the song, we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson. I hope everyone had a great weekend and, well, a week really, and that everything is going all right in your life, you know. So here goes the song. After the song, we'll go in with the lesson.
So good to make it this far, and I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit, and I said surely this is it, but I held on, and I've watched as so-called friends turn and walked away, and it hurt so much I didn't have words to say. But even when my day turns to night and nothing seems just right, Lord, I thank you for my life, for my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen, and all the moments I know, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you for my life. And I've watched you take my family from there to here. And when times were a little rough, God, I know you were near. Thank you, Jesus. And the moments I thought I'd fail, I was reminded of your nails. So I held on. And if I never live to see another day, there's nothing I would change or take away. I've had so many ups that they far outweigh my downs. Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory. My life.
Was Dear God by Sonny Norfolk. And we're going into the lesson tonight. Some more callers called in, and I want you to understand that the topic of this lesson is understanding God's love towards us. I'm coming from John 3, 1 through 16. John 3, and 16 is one of the most popular scriptures and the most memorized scripture in the Bible, you know, and it talks about God love, and it shows us that he is love and that he does love and that he loves us. So when I decided to do the background, which I do every week, I'm doing a background tonight on salvation. And I suggest who have your Bibles, file it in a Bible. Those who don't have a Bible, you can write down because there's a lot of scriptures. So we're going to go ahead with the lesson tonight. And I wanted you to, as I said, salvation. You know, we think about salvation. Some people think about it this way. Some people think about it maybe another way. But I'm asking that you pull up whatever you believe the definition for salvation is to you. Put it in your mind. You know, just visit it in your mind as we go through the lesson. But I want you to know the definition of the Christian doctrine of salvation would be, if I had to give you a Christian definition, I would say, salvation is the deliverance by the grace of God from eternal punishment for sin, which is granted to those who accept by faith God's condition of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. You see, salvation is available in Jesus Christ alone. You know, Jesus himself said in John 14 and 6, Jesus said unto him, he was talking to Doubting Thomas in that scripture. If you go back and you always, if I give you a scripture, don't just stop at that scripture, read up and read down or read the whole chapter. But Jesus was talking, and he said to him, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And is dependent, and our salvation is dependent on God alone for provisions, assurance, and security. You know, salvation is the act of being saved. But I want you to know you're being saved daily. Some people think about salvation, they accepted Christ to have salvation, and that's from when they die and it's on the other side. But I want to let you know tonight, salvation is the working force of God, not just for them, but for even now. You see, that's why they say it's an act of being saved daily and delivered daily from the power and the penalty of sin by redemption. Redemption is the atonement of human sin. And how was it atoned? It was atoned by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. When you look at the word salvation, you need to know that salvation is an improving. Salvation is the improving of something, the act of saving something or somebody from a dilapidated or corrupted state and restoring him and her to a better condition. You see, when we look at our lives and sometimes we say the things we used to do, we don't do no more. You have to understand that that's God's love towards us through the power of salvation. So what I'm saying, take salvation out of a box if you got it and let it have its full image and full understanding in your life so that you can love on God even more and understand his love towards us with the gift of salvation. You see, if we cooperate with the saving power of our salvation, with the assistance of the Holy Ghost on earth here and now, we will discover our intended purpose, which will ensure us a more abundant life. Here we see that salvation is not just for the future, but it is our present help. Salvation. You see, Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see, the word salvation means to save. Come on now. So what it's doing is saving us daily from the power of sin, but from our adversities, trials, and tribulations through the gift of the Holy Ghost, who tell you, don't go that way. Don't touch that. Leave that alone. Forgive that person. Salvation saves us daily. You see, salvation is the deliverance from danger, suffering. It saves, it delivers, and it protects. I'm talking about salvation, y'all. The word carries the idea of victory. It even plenty times ensure health, and it is a preservation. It preserves us. Salvation is what's keeping us and preserving us and guiding us and helping us and aiding us. Salvation. You see, but you have to fully understand salvation to fully appreciate salvation. And what understanding what God has done through his gift of salvation for us, once we accept his son, then we can fully understand God's love towards us. Hallelujah. You see, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God knew that this world would not love nobody. And he knew we had to live in this world. Because he told us that we have to be in the world, but we should not be of this world. But because of that, God extended provisions that would be necessary for us to be able to manage ourselves in this life. And that provision that he gave us is saving grace. And the definition of saving grace is salvation. You see how they go together? Saving grace. You know, we receive grace when we accepted Christ as our Savior. And we received it at that time, but it's an action word, so it's saving grace. And when it's saving grace, it's salvation. You see, God knew we would never be able to manage a righteous life on earth in and of ourselves, and has given everything necessary for us to achieve it. God ain't never asked you to do nothing without giving you the provisions. What kind of God that would it be? If God would just put us here, don't give us no provisions, don't give us, you know, this, or don't help us with this, he would be setting us up to fail. God is not that kind of God. And God say he knew we couldn't in and of ourselves. That's why he sent his son. So don't get it twisted. There's no person that can do it. There's no person other than Jesus that have done it. And it's just not going to happen. So God give us what we need to be what we need to be. But it's all through Christ Jesus. You see, all the provisions of salvation given to us to be used here and now. Don't keep thinking that salvation is just on the other side, or it's something you receive on the other side. When you accepted Christ, you accepted salvation, and salvation is working here and now, which is your saving grace. You see, all the provisions of salvation given to us to be used here and now. Let's look at some of them. He gave us his divine love, which is mercy and grace. You see, mercy and grace, they go together. Come on now. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ. This is provisions of salvation. He gave us his spirit, the Holy Ghost. And that's just the name of few. But even with those few, you could agree, hopefully, that that's love. You see, and then, you know, when you think about salvation, you might ask the question concerning once saved, always saved. Because I get a lot of that a lot of times. Because the problem of sin is ever so present. And even though we save, and some people say they're Christians, look like their lifestyle haven't changed or changed enough, whoever's judging, things like that. And you say, well, what's going to happen because they keep sinning? And when I say this, please don't take one sin and try to nail everybody with that one sin to the cross, because it's a sin that you could see. Sins that can't be seen just because it's not being seen or manifested where people could see it in your life don't mean it's not a sin. You know, we on a thing with homosexuality so much, people are so confused in the TV cameras and everybody doing it, and it's a sexual sin. But, you know, and then they might tell me, you know, God say a man and a woman. Yes, he did. But he said a man and his wife, and not a man with someone else's wife, which is adultery. Both of them sexual sins. Sin is sin. I just threw that in. It wasn't even in a lesson, but it came out. because we fixing to talk about the sins that we commit, and then what is what God want to do about that once we were saved. Remember, nobody will be perfect. So if there's anybody who believing that they got saved, and when they do something wrong, they got unsaved, so they trying to do good enough to be saved once again. First of all, God didn't want you to have them burdens like that, because if he did, he could have left what was already in place, the law. You see, that's what happened with the law. When they sinned, they had to go get a bull, and then they had to get a goat, and it couldn't take away the sins, and it covered the sins, so they had to keep doing it. And God said, I don't want that struggle on my people. That was not my intended purpose for them to struggle, so I'm going to take care of this once and for all, and I'm going to send the greatest sacrifice, my son, and it's going to take care of it once for all. And that's the case. So for you to think you had your salvation, you must have thought you was good enough to get it when you thought you had it. God said he's not going to never leave it where any man can boast. First of all, you think you had it, you must have did it good enough. And, you know, you're not afforded the privilege to make up what's good enough or what's bad enough or when you got it or when you don't have it and you lose it and this and that. You see, what happens when a Christian sins? If God doesn't send us to hell, then how does he deal with us about our sins after we've been saved? You know, this subject becomes rather easy to understand when we fully understand who we are now. You have to fully understand God's love towards us and his master plan to redeem us and his master plan to save us. Stop adding your own stuff in it. Read the Word of God and ask the Holy Ghost to guide you. You see, so the subject become rather easy. We are God's children. We have entered into a father and son relationship with God. He will deal with us as a father deal with a child, not as a judge deal with a criminal. Every time you believe you lost your salvation, you take accreditation from God. I'm not giving you a license to sin because you didn't do good to get saved. But once you're saved and fully understand the love that God has towards us, I hope and pray that you begin to do good and as good as you can do. And do then be better the next day. You see, this is a journey. This is not a destination. We didn't get saved and it stopped there. This is a journey. We walk in the saving grace of God and salvation every day of our lives as he protects us and preserves us and keep us. Now, okay, now watch this. Christians need to understand that their bodies have not been born again. I'm gonna say that again, and keep this in your mind because it's gonna reflect in the rest of the part of the scriptures that we're gonna go through because this is just. The background I'm doing. Christians need to understand that their bodies have not been born again. Only your soul have been saved. I hope I'm clearing something up for you right now. You see, our flesh is still corrupt and it'll die one day. If I look at the Apostle Paul, he said that in the flesh dwells no good things. That's in Romans 8 and 18. Now watch this. Since the soul have been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, God has found it necessary to separate the soul from the body. And guess what that's called? spiritual circumcision. You know, in the old days, they had to be circumcised to be a part. We have spiritual circumcision and become a part. Notice these important words from Galatians 2 and 11. It says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcisions made without hands. See, the men in the Old Testament, when they circumcised it, they did it with their hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision in Christ. You see, we were circumcised not by hand, but by God's Spirit. Instead of being physically circumcised as the Old Testament Jews were, we are spiritually circumcised by the Holy Spirit. Our flesh has been cut loose from our righteous soul. Now watch this. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, your soul is set free. People walking around every day trying to set their flesh free, you never do it. That's why when you die, the first thing to go is the flesh. And when Jesus come back, if we still in this fleshly temple, the first while we in the air, he's going to take off this corruptible flesh and put on incorruptible. Hallelujah. When we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, our souls were set free. The burdens of sin was lifted and the Holy Spirit of God came to live within us, in our soul, not in our flesh, and has sealed us until the day Jesus come back for us. A Christian's flesh is still corrupt and sinful. So that's why the Word of God asks us that we are to live in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Romans 8, 1 through 9. And in Matthew's, watch this, Matthew's 26 and 41, Jesus himself says this. Jesus himself says this. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Since our souls have been made righteous, God sees us as righteous individuals. You know how plenty of times we say when God looks at us, he can only see his son? Because he looks at our soul. He know no, nothing good is in the flesh. Some people try to make their flesh be equal with their soul, like you're going to control the soul, the body, the mind, like you're going to do it all. He does not see our sin because Jesus paid the price for sin. If we're going to look at God and his love towards us and Jesus, what he did on the cross and all that he did for us, if we're going to really believe that and believe when he said it is finished, he said he took away the sins of the world, you have to stop going to the cross, picking your sins back up, putting them on your back, feeling guilty and everything else. I'm not giving you a license to sin because I pray to God that I'm better in the next hour than I am right now. It is my desire when I wake up and put my feet on the ground that I please God even more. You see, because once, you know, you have Christ living in you, you should want to do the right things. So I'm not giving you a license to sin, but I got to tell you what Jesus really did. You see, our souls are forever perfect. Hebrews 14 and 10 and 14 say it. So if I sin, I do so in the flesh, and God will deal with me in the flesh about it. Hallelujah. Come on now. He will not judge my soul, but it's senseless. We are still stuck in our corruptible flesh until God calls us home. And we will have consequences for our wrongdoing in the flesh. You see, Jesus died for our sins, not for your consequences. They belong to you. So when you decide to do some things that's wrong, you got to live with the consequences. That's what's already in place. God put things in place to handle sin, and he got things in place to handle righteousness. So you choose which one you're going to do. You know, you choose righteousness, you get blessed. You choose sin, you're going to have consequences that may be too hard for you to live with. Jesus took away the sins. He didn't take away your consequences. They belong to you. And even then, when you're dealing with your consequences, understand the love God has for us, because the salvation is still with us, because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So it's still there and ever present, and salvation does what salvation do. Now, after saying all of that, and I'm telling you that, you know, God separated, circumcised our hearts from our body. So you say, well, then what about a body? Let me tell you this. Spiritually speaking, we are now in the body of Christ. You know how we say I belong to the body of Christ? Hallelujah. Spiritually speaking, we are now in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And God said this for those who believe they lose their salvation because they did something today and yesterday and all of that. My Father, who gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10 and 29. That's the background, and we're going into the scripture. Again, it's John 3. And we're going to start at the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit was spirit. You see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, the ruler of the Jews. And the Pharisees, and it's not in the lesson, but the Sadducees, the Republicans, and the scribes, all of them was in constant conflict with Jesus. You see, Jesus had begun teaching the truth and gaining popularity with the people, causing them to want to stop his ministry at any cost. Nicodemus noticed that something was different about the teaching and the miracles that Jesus had performed, and he knew that Jesus wasn't alone and it was somebody greater than him, and at some point he believed that God was with him. You see, they loved God, but they didn't accept the fact that Jesus could be the Messiah. You see, he came to Jesus personally. See, that's how we have to do. We have to come to Jesus personally, not because our mama said it, not because our sad daddy said it. And we have to try and test him for ourselves. But he came to Jesus personally to separate the facts from the rumors. He came by night so the other Pharisees and Sadducees wouldn't question his motive. But you see, Nicodemus had something that he had to clear up. Nicodemus asked a question to Jesus. But watch this. Jesus did not answer the question. But he said to him, you must be born again. You see, God looks straight at the heart. Man only can see the outward. He asked Jesus a question, but Jesus gave him a question of salvation. He said, you must be born again. You see, Jesus used this opportunity to offer Nicodemus the plan of salvation. Nicodemus didn't fully understand the answer Jesus gave him, and wondered how could he be born again because of his age. Then Jesus said, except a man be born of water And when he said a water, that's talking about your physical birth. And a spirit, which is your spiritual birth, he could not enter the kingdom of God. You see, the Jews was the chosen people and believed that they had a preference to the things of God. But Jesus let him know that the kingdom is personal. It's not national. It's not ethnic. And to enter, the requirements are repentance and spiritual rebirth. But now he's saying to whosoever will, let him come. And you see, they probably didn't like that message because, you see, they thought they had all of this locked down. But Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. When you are born of the Spirit, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus now believed and understand God's love towards us and that Jesus was the Messiah. And he began to speak boldly all through Jesus' trial. And if for those, when Jesus died and he was on the cross, Nicodemus was one that went up bravely and asked the king, along with Joseph, not Jesus' daddy, but Joseph, for Jesus' body to bury it in Joseph's tomb. He began doing that, Nicodemus, once he heard the truth. So as we look at this, just like I said earlier, we're going to fall short of the glory of God, and we're going to slip and we're going to fall. But God has granted us salvation, and God is not an Indian giver. And as we hear the truth, like Nicodemus, he began to speak boldly. He put his life on the line asking for Jesus' body. See, that's what we have to start doing. But that's all within each and every individual person as far as how you want to do in pleasing God. Because to please God, you got to fully understand his love for you. And if we look at the seventh verse, it say, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. He said, don't lose too much sleep over it. He said, because the wind blow where it listeth, and thou heareth the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh. And you can't tell where it go. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus take the time and tell him. Jesus explained that you cannot control the work of the Holy Spirit. He works in ways we cannot predict and understand. The Bible teaches us that everything is not for us to understand. But that's where the faith and the belief come in. Just like you didn't control your physical birth, you didn't pick your mama, you didn't pick your daddy, you didn't say when, you didn't say how, you didn't say white, you didn't say black, you didn't say good, big, you didn't say small. Just like you didn't control your physical birth, you cannot control your spiritual. It is a gift from God through the Holy Spirit. Now that's love. And if we look at 10, Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel that knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. Jesus saying, I told you the truth, you didn't accept it. I testified, you didn't accept it, and then we had, you know, you witnessed and you seen things, and you're still not accepting it. He said, if I had told you early things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you the heavenly things? Come on now, y'all. And no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And Jesus telling him who he is. You know, Jesus said to him, you are a master of Israel. What that was that they studied the law. They was in the Judaism religion, and they was master of the laws. That's why they was, you know, they had prestige, and people looked up to them and all of this. So, you know, Jesus was really, you know, knocking knocking, you know, they praise and honor from the people, because he come with such authority. And that's why it was so much conflict. But Jesus told him, you are a master of Israel, and yet you don't understand God's love towards you. He knew the Old Testament thoroughly, but he didn't understand God's love towards him by sending his son as the Messiah. You see, knowledge, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they had knowledge, but knowledge will not earn you salvation. You see, and there's a scripture that says God has chosen the foolish things of this world to conform the wise, and God have chosen the weak things of this world to conform the things of the mighty. You see, that's in 1 Corinthians 1:27. You should know the Bible, but even more important, you should understand the love of God, who the Bible reveals, and the salvation that God's offered. And always ask the Holy Ghost for illumination and revelation. Otherwise, you will just be full with information. Hallelujah. And we on our last verses, 14, 15, and 16. And it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What the Bible says, if we lift up, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto you. That whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, when the Israelites was wandering in the desert for 40 days, for them, all of those days, God sent a plague of snakes to punish the people for their rebellious attitude. And these, those who were doomed to die from the snake bite could be healed by obeying God's command to look up at the elevated bronze snake. And by believing that God would heal them, they would be healed. Now, Jesus used this in the New Testament, and this is Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and he used Moses in that. See, we have to realize that the Old Testament has its value. The Old Testament points everything to Jesus. And just like circumcision was in the Old Testament, we see circumcision tonight, but the circumcision not made by hand. You got to know the old to fully understand the new. And I suggest you visit it, if that's not places you usually go. You see, so similar, our salvation happened when we looked up to Jesus, believing that he alone can save us. Not that you did bad yesterday and you're going to do good enough today to save yourself. You're fooling yourself. It's not biblically sound. You know, God has provided this way for us to be healed of daily sin bites. There's a scripture say, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Jesus' death took the sting out of the debt that we were faced to pay. You see, here God sets the pattern of true love, the base of all love, of all love relationship. When you love someone dearly, you give freely to the point of self-sacrifice. God paid dearly with the life of his son, the highest price he could pay. Jesus accepted our punishment, paid the price in full for our sins, and then offered us the new life that he had bought for us. See, Jesus bought this new life for us. And he bought it and he paid the price and we belong to him. And when we accept him, he sealed our soul. soul. And when I say seal, the Holy Ghost is a sealer. When we accepted Christ, he sealed our soul. Now, for God to take salvation back, now, if you didn't actually really accept God with your whole heart and you was faking it till you're making it, you don't have a seal. But if you got that seal, God would have to come and break that seal before it's time. And anybody knowing the Old Testament, a seal was respected. A seal was a thing of honor. A seal was respected. So for God to come and break a seal before time because of you and what you did, God don't work like that. God said, I never change. Jesus accepted our punishment, paid the price in full for our sins, then offered us a new life that he bought for us. He bought this life, and when we accepted, he gave it to us. Now, that's love. You see, eternal life is not an extension of a person's miserable life, their moral life here. Eternal life is God's life embodied in Jesus Christ, given to all believers now as a guarantee that they will live forever. In eternal life, there is no death, no sickness, no enemies, no evil, and no sin. You see, when we ignore Christ, we make the choice as if to say that this life is all that we have. But in reality, this life is just the introduction to eternity. And I encourage you as I close, be encouraged that nothing shall separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we are more than a conqueror through him that loves us. That's our lesson for tonight, everybody. And I would like to hear some comments from anybody. And I was saying earlier, and I caught myself, but I couldn't think of it right then, when they was wandering in the wilderness, they did it for 40 years. I think I might have said 40 days. But the point was, they were in the wilderness. And even with the 40 days, you know, it was supposed to only take a couple of days. And you see, that's how your disobedience sometimes sets you back. So am I giving you a license of sin? No. I'm just telling you that God loved towards us. And if you want to enjoy the things of God, you have to do the things that God asks us to do. But the choice is yours. But your soul is sealed. Anybody would like to make a comment? Your mic is open.
Hi, Sister Diane. Yeah, I would like to make a comment. This lesson was extremely good tonight. This is something that sometimes when we are in sin, I think the devil can sneak in and try to take this lesson away from us. It goes back. We do need to learn the Ten Commandments. We do need to learn the Mosaic laws. Not that we can hold them. Not that we can hold them. But just to refresh our memory, what's right and what's wrong. And I do think we need to evaluate ourselves nightly to see if we can do better the next day. And if it's something that we keep repeating, we have to ask God to take it from us in Jesus Christ's name and lay it at Jesus' feet. Because, I mean, it's just something that you just keep repeating, and it's just really hard on you, you know. Even if it's minor or even if it's big, I mean, you know, if it's really hard on you, you just give it to God. You give it to God, and you place it at Jesus' feet, and eventually it will be taken away from you. You just have to keep trying really hard and keep praying. But you're right. There's no way, if we're in flesh, we can meet all the Moses' laws. It's impossible. it's impossible. We keep falling. But, I mean, if we self-evaluate ourselves nightly, we can try. We can try to do a little better. We can try each day to be better than the next. So I really enjoyed this lesson because it seems like the devil, when we are in sin and we're feeling really guilty about it, he will try, you know, to steal this lesson that you gave us, that once we're born, we're sealed. So I really appreciate this tonight. This is something I needed to hear, and I thank you.
I thank you so much, Sister McBride, all the time for your comments. And, you know, I just want us to know, you know, we got to learn how to rest in salvation. I believe when we get to heaven, God's going to be cracking up. He's going to say, y'all was going through all of them emotions for nothing. He say, I didn't tell you it was that hard. I didn't tell you that it was this. I didn't tell you, you know, we making it up as we go. And we making up rules and regulations that we couldn't keep if we wanted. And then don't let the mistake be that you think you keeping the rules of regulation because I only see the fault in somebody else. Like they see you can't see the splint in your eye. You know, you can't see the splint in your eye and want to, you know, be looking at something in your brother's eye. We have to start with ourselves. Don't evaluate yourself against somebody else because you say, oh, they do this, this, and this. And then that makes you better than them. No, they might be doing this, this, and this, but you doing this, 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 and this. You're just not telling it. And just because it's done in the dark or just because nobody else don't see it don't mean it's not happening. But God has filled our soul. Our soul became sinless. People think God say when you got to be born again, that the body, he separated that from that. And that's how we can be totally sinless and can have salvation totally because God is a love of our soul, not our flesh. Flesh is going to take care of flesh, and flesh is going to die, but your soul not. And understand the difference. I have another caller. Caller, your number is 985-224. 83, your mic is open.
Good evening, Lady Di. Once again, I just want to thank God for you. Thank him for using you to bring his message to us. But there's two things in particular that happened this week that's on my mind that I wanted to mention. And there was a lady. She was a licensed physician and a Pentecostal minister that was selling something that she said God had told her that would cure cancer, no matter whether you was in the fourth stage or the first stage. And she took so much money from these people, they believed her because, first, she was a doctor. Second, she was a minister. So they believed her. Then I think about the shooting in Oregon, where these people who say, I am a Christian, and we know the scripture told us that it's going to come a time that we will be martyred for Christ. And they were still willing to say, I'm a Christian. And, of course, they were shot in the head. If you was of another religion, if you were not a Christian, you would be shot in the leg. But it's just something that we have got to start realizing that we already have some antichrist spirits out here. And we really have to start studying and looking for ourselves and asking God to guide us and to show us so that we will know the truth. Thank you.
I thank you so much, Sister Brown, for bringing that in there and letting us know. You know, when I started the lesson off, I said, you know, the time is winding out. You know, and each of us got to be accountable. And we have to learn our intended purpose. And we have to share the word of God. Don't just sit on it. It is each and every one of our it is each and every one of our responsibility to share the word of God. If you go to Revelation and see how it's going to be in hell, you shouldn't want nobody to go there. So you should not miss the opportunity to sell somebody to save them from that. But I thank you, Sister Brown, for calling in. And that's the factors of going on in this world. And as I said earlier, God said we have to be in this world, but we don't have to be of it. And he knew all of this was going to be happening, Sister Brown. That's why he gave us what he gave us. That's why he gave us 66 books and his son and his spirit and the Holy Ghost brought the nine fruits, love, peace, joy, patience. He gave us all that to be able to manage in his world. And I just want to let you know it's going to get worse before it gets better. And the word of God tells us to hold on to the confession of our faith. You know, and we see these things happening. We can't control them. We don't like them. But it is. So as always, I'll be glad to hear your voice and thank you for calling in. Is there anyone else would like to make a comment, ask for prayer or anything at this time? You can press the one button on your phone. If anyone would like to pray and lead us out in prayer, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, I'll go ahead, because it's 9:30, I'll go ahead and do the benediction prayer. I'll do the prayer and a benediction. And since plenty of people like to hear the songs, I'll put some more music on. But if anybody would like to pray or anything like that, you could press the one button. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your lesson that went forth tonight. Lord, I pray that you open the people's ears where they just don't hear, but become doers of your word. I thank you for the ladies that called in and gave the comment, because I know I don't know everything, dear God, and more insight for your people. I welcome. And dear Lord God, I'm just asking that you look down upon us, and I just want to thank you for what you're doing in my sister's life. My sister Jeanette, we've been praying with her from the beginning of her illness and her treatments, and glory be to God, Friday is the last one. So we just saying thank you, dear God, and we looking for God to take away all of the evidence that of anything that was there, dear God. We asking that you look down upon Benita Washington, dear God, and help her right now for whatever she need, dear God, and Cynthia Sanders, dear God. We lift them up, dear God. Let them not suffer in their sickness, dear God. I have a new little baby that then came in my life, dear God. His name is Cam. Lord, I'm asking that you protect him and guide him and find favor in his life, dear God. Lord, let him grow up to be a leader and not a follower, dear God. Protect him in the wiles of this world and the evil that's going to be surrounding him, dear God. Heavenly Father, that's my prayer for him and his mother and his family as well. Be with them, dear God. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that this week coming up that we will have new insight and do things that is pleasing unto you, dear God, and we could get some revelation and we could get elevated by our knowledge in you, dear God. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us truly understand the love you have towards us. We need to find that out, dear God, and we have to get in your word to understand your love towards us. We have to understand the things that you have did in our lives is because of the love you have towards us. I want everything that we have and own, dear God, is because of the love that you have towards us. And because you are loving on us, dear God, I pray that each and every one of us love on you. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, that's the lesson for tonight. And I pray that everyone receive a word from God, that the word won't return void, and that is something that you could use in your everyday life to get you to the place that God wants you to be in Christ Jesus. Amen, and thank God. So, that's the lesson. And what I'll do is play some music. Um, I'll play some music because some people are still on the line. And they sometimes like to have the music.
God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. Tell me who make mountains move out of my way? Who make a miracle because of my faith? And when the doctor says no, who can still say yes? And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me pass every test? God is able. God is able. God is able. Never forsake. No, he won't fail. He'll be there till the end. God won't fail. He won't fail.
Remember that God is able to bring you through whatever you may be going through.
God is able.
And that's our lesson for tonight. And I pray that God be with you until we meet again. And I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. I want you to be blessed. Look to Jesus for whatever you need, for whatever you want. Talk to God about everything. and leave him out of nothing. And that I ensure you an abundant life through Christ Jesus. Everybody be blessed. And if the Lord say the same, I'll see you back on next Wednesday. Be blessed. And good night.